Galatians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. Galatians 1, 23 and 24. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorify God in me. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word, and Lord, we look to you and thank you for these the testimonies of grace that, Lord, we find in your word and in the testimonies of your grace that we see in each other, and we thank you for it. Pray that you would bless now in Christ's name. Amen. So what a contrast, really. What a great contrast that we have here between the one who once persecuted the church now is preaches the faith which he once destroyed. There's a big contrast here. You know, many times when I'm speaking to the men at FCI El Reno, they will tell me that they have, or they will express a great remorse and talk about how that, you know, they say, wow, I just wasted my life, and I was just involved in all that stuff, and it just, you know, they just have such great remorse about it. And what I will try to encourage them with is I say, well, let your life be to God's glory. Let your life be a contrast. Make your life be a contrast to that, and God will get the glory for that. They will glorify God in you. Have that contrast in your life. Make sure there is a contrast. Have that contrast. Be trophies of God's grace. Trophies of grace. Saul did persecute God's people. He was consenting to Stephen's death. But now, in contrast to that, he is a trophy of God's grace. The reason why he is a trophy of God's grace is because God changed him. Paul didn't give himself a new heart with new desires. God gave him a new heart. God gets the glory for this changed life. But, as I said before, we have to make sure there, in order for there to be glory, for God to have the glory, for trophies of grace, there has to be a contrast in this life. That doesn't shine as a trophy of grace when there is no exhibited difference in a life. You know, I know that I realize that many of you did not lead an outwardly sinful life before the Lord saved you, and that doesn't make you any less of a trophy of God's grace. His grace was simply not manifested in the same way as others. But this message should be an encouragement to those who have remorse. Maybe you imagine what could have been. That wasn't God's story for your life. God's story for your life is now to shine as a trophy of his grace. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to learn that many of the Corinthians would suffer with remorse at times, leading very wicked lives. The Bible says that many of them live very wicked lives. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." So in other words, there has to be this contrast there. And Paul is going to be pointing out that there is a contrast, or should be a contrast. "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here's your trophies of his grace. Don't be deceived. You're not a trophy if there's no contrast. Or you're not seen as a trophy if there's no contrast. By the Spirit of our God, sanctified, justified, washed. Praise God, he changes and sanctifies people. We have a powerful God. But this is a big part of our text. And this is a big part of Paul's life. He changed. And they glorify God in me. We spent quite a bit of time in the recent months, weeks, I guess, preaching from texts that pointed out that there will be people who will twist grace into license, especially in Jude. In Jude verse 4, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, and godly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So we won't spend a lot of time on this. We already have. But another thing that needs to be clear is that if there is no change, there is no glory to God for changing a person. I mean, what if Paul was still persecuting Christians? Nobody would glorify God because of Paul's testimony. Nothing happened. You know, people who make professions of faith and have no glory for God are kind of like duds at the fireworks show, you know? Maybe a fizzle or a sputter or maybe a little puff of smoke. But no glory. There wasn't the... It's like, cloud without rain. It looks promising, but nothing. Paul is God's testimony that people can change and that he can change them. It does happen. So it doesn't matter how much of our life has been wasted. It doesn't matter how much we might regret. God can transform us and use all that we regret as a contrast to what he can do in our lives. Paul wasn't on the road to Damascus to find God. He was on his way to persecute believers. But God stopped him and transformed him. The first thing God did was to confront him about his sin. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts 9, 1 through 6. Read about this. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Confront. Is God confronting you? Why do you sin against me? They may even be secret sins. God sees them. God sees them. Why are you rejecting God's laws and rebelling against him? I hope that's the case, that God will confront you. He will confront you. That's grace. He's given you a warning. You know, even if you're not doing what Paul did, and I'm sure you're not, but even if you're not with God, you're against him. Maybe God is telling you to stop persecuting him. You need to listen. He may warn you, but there comes a time when God will deal with you. You know, a good illustration, I think this is just, I'm just using this as an illustration, in the story of Abner and Asahel. In 2 Samuel 2, 19 through 23, it says, "And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, 'Art thou Asahel?' And he answered, 'I am he,'" or "I am." "And Abner said to him, 'Turn thee aside to the right hand or the left, and lay thy hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor.' But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said unto Asahel, 'Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?' Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him. And he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to that place where Asahel fell down and died stood still." Maybe God's confronting you. Don't challenge God. Paul was actually actively, not only challenging, but actively persecuting God's people, and by way of that, persecuting God in a sense. He was persecuting God. But listen, sin will get you killed. Challenging God will get you killed. So God warns and he confronts a sinner, just like he did Paul. Then Paul spoke to God, recognizing God's presence. Paul had been kicking against the pricks or goads. He was convicted in his heart that what he was doing was wrong. And then Saul spoke to God. In verse 5, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." That, I take that to mean conscience. His conscience was bothering him. Don't drown out your conscience. You know that your conscience has been bothering you. You know it. If you want to be a trophy of God's grace like Paul, acknowledge your sin and then have a change of mind. Instead of persecuting God, ask to serve him. Ask with great reverence. It's a privilege to serve him. You're not giving him anything. He is allowing you to serve him. As Paul or anyone else who has been stopped by God, it was a gift that he allowed us to serve him and come under his authority. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's the cry of I want to obey you. And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." You know, the doing comes after we are saved. With a new heart, we ask, "What wilt thou have me to do?" With a new heart, you will ask, "What must I do to be saved from the life I once led? How can I be a trophy of God's grace?" Simple. Start living the life that he commands. Make a contrast. Be a contrast. He's given you his Holy Spirit if you're saved, if you've truly been born again. You're a trophy of his grace. When you come to him, cry out to him. Your sins are forgiven. They're paid for by the blood. You've been saved from the legal condemnation of the law. But you also need to be saved from the sin that has controlled your life. If you've been saved, you're not only given forgiveness through the cross, but you've been given the Holy Spirit as well. He dwells within you. Obey him and the word, his word that he inspired. Just be what you are a trophy of God's grace. John Newton, the author of the song Amazing Grace, said this, and I'm sure you've heard it quoted, several of you probably heard it quoted many times. He said, "Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." He changes lives. Such were some of you. He transforms. And to him goes the glory. He gets the glory for that. Because he's given you, if you're born again, he's given you of his Holy Spirit. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Lord, we are so